Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. And I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to pick it up now in between our series in the Book of Revelation and start a brand new series through the Book of 1 John. That's the book that we just started. I just started preaching at church just on Sunday. And so this is the intro to 1 John. And this will play today and tomorrow. And that's what we do here at WGOD, preach and teach the Word of God. I know the secret, and I share it with you. That is, God is always broadcasting. What's required of you and I is to tune into His frequency. Go to where He speaks. Listen to His voice. He's always speaking. He's always broadcasting. He always has a word for you if you go to where He speaks. And that's what we're going to do. So, and it's shocking. John is so, he pulls no punches. Maybe that's why Jesus called him Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. Nickname he had for James and John. So that's where we're at here Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll be back Thursday with the Book of Revelation. We just started that. We'll be at the Second Church of Smyrna later in the week. For more info on this ministry, I encourage you to download the app, WGOD Radio. Search for it in the App Store. It's a little blue crown. You can't miss it. There's a Listen Live link on there. You're able to support this ministry financially, which would be greatly appreciated. You can hear prior broadcasts. So once again, that's WGOD Radio. Look for it in either the Google Play Store or the App Store. Okay, that's going to do it for an intro today. Enjoy this program here today and tomorrow. Oh, and also, if you would like a copy of the handout that I have, which is a survey of 1 John and an outline, a book outline, all of from the Open Bible, just let me know. Drop me a line. My email address is paul@wgodradio.com, and I'll be glad to email you the handout that I gave to my church family and those that are following along on the app on Sunday morning. So, okay, here we go. This is the first part of this message, intro to 1 John. New book here this morning. We're in 1 John. Now, the John who wrote this letter is the Apostle John from the four Gospels. Many times, you remember, we read in the Bible about James and John. This is that John, James's brother. Now, Jesus had a nickname for John and his brother, and he called them, in Aramaic, it was Boanerges, which was, anyone remember? Right, the sons of thunder. They must have been full of zeal. Once we read in Luke chapter 9 how these two wanted to call down fire out of heaven on the heads of anyone that wasn't following along with them. Sons of thunder. Now, John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote these three letters, the first of which we'll be looking at the next 5 or 6 weeks. And the last book John wrote was the book of Revelation. Now, when John left Jerusalem, he eventually moved to Ephesus, where he became the leader of the church there. Sometime later, he tells us, he got sent to the penal colony, the island of Patmos, on account of the Word of God and on account of telling people about Jesus. Isn't that funny? Some things just never change, do they? Remember, Satan and all those that serve him don't like it when you tell people about Jesus. Have you noticed that? It's like showing the cross to Count Dracula. Because Jesus has the power and the authority to set you free.
The Lord Jesus' blood has the power and the authority to obliterate your sins. As we're going to find out as we read this morning, as we're going to find out as we partake of Holy Communion too. There's also a surefire way of determining who's on God's side and who belongs to Satan. Mention the name of Jesus and watch what happens. Sure doesn't speak too kindly into the public school systems today, does it? Or perhaps your boss. Okay, now, the rest of it. Let me read one thing from this handout here, which I encourage you to read and keep these. Maybe in a notebook or a binder or something. We'll be having one for every book of the New Testament. Under the heading here for the time of 1 John, talking about the Gnostics, the Gnostic heresy. Now, this was the big thing back then. We're all dealing with something in our time. In the first century, it was this group called Gnostics. Now, Gnosis is the Greek word for knowledge. So these guys thought they were really smart. And this trouble entered into the church and got into its ranks. The Gnostic, I'm reading in the middle of the paragraph, the time of 1 John. It says, the Gnostic heresy taught that matter is inherently evil, and a divine being, therefore, could not take on human flesh. So the Gnostics, as you read in the Bible there, a denial of the incarnation. They denied that God took a body, which is essential for your salvation, to believe that. It's part of the doctrine of Christ. God took a body. Great is the mystery of godliness, right? It says the Lord, God was manifest in the flesh, seen by the angels, justified in the spirit, and received up in the glory. God took a body. They didn't believe that. Okay. Let me add one more thing here, why he wrote this letter. Again, he wrote this letter because of all the evil people that had snuck in the back door of the church and were trying to corrupt and pollute the church with evil doctrine. We'll expose that as we get to it. All right, 1 John chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, or concerning the word of life. Notice John starts, he starts the same as the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Also, it starts the same way as the book of Genesis does. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So John, once again, is informing us that Jesus Christ has been since the beginning. Amen. That which was from the beginning, he says. So it's simple. You find out when the beginning is, and you'll find out the origins of Jesus Christ. Simple. The Gospel of John starts off like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What an English teacher's nightmare. Think about it. In the beginning was the Word. That's the word logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How can you be with someone and still be that someone at the same time? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him, that is Jesus, without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we got a very similar introduction here by John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our head looked upon is the word theatre there, where our word theater comes from, gazed upon or looked upon. So that which we've heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now there's another name for Jesus. John calls him the word of life. How much more of a witness could you possibly have than this in the Bible? The word of life, the word or a message. The word of life is Jesus Christ. He is life. That is eternal life. Like verse 2 is going to say here. It says, for the life, that is eternal life, his life, him, the life was manifested. That word means to be seen or to reveal something. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness. Think about it. Look who's writing this letter to you. From 2,000 years ago, this was an eyewitness. Someone who had seen Jesus Christ. Not only has he seen him, he's touched him. He's touched him. He knows what he feels like. He knows what he looks like. He can tell you the color of his eyes. That is the confidence that we have when you open up and read your Bible. He's a witness, an eyewitness. We have seen it, and we bear witness, and we show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested us. Now, it looks like he got sidetracked here in verse 2. Verse 3 is going to pick up where he was in verse 1. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, so that ye also might have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So again, he's trying to say, or he is saying, that he's an eyewitness to this. That which we have seen with our own eyes, and we have heard with our own ears, and we have touched with our own hands, we're declaring unto you. And then the reason why. Look what it says. So that. This is why. Why he's telling you all this. So that you and the Godhead could have the kind of fellowship that he had with the Godhead, Father and Son, and with them as well, with the apostles. That's why he's telling you all of this. So that you can have fellowship with Almighty God. Think about that. Fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, famous word. It means to participate in, or to share with, or to have in common. The language the New Testament was written was koine Greek, meaning common Greek. Was the language everyone spoke of the day. They spoke Aramaic and Koine Greek. Fellowship. Verse 4, these things write we unto you so that your joy may be full. I bet. Hearing about the Son of God firsthand from an eyewitness would bring me some joy too. How about you? Hearing that eternal life was possible for me would bring me joy too. How about you? Hearing I could possibly be forgiven for all that I've done would bring me joy as well. Right? So that your joy may be full. All right, well, that's the greeting. What do you say we call it a day and go home from here? No, let's keep going. Are you kidding me? Just warming up. How's this, devil? Here's my same glasses that broke last week. Yeah, put a good man down, I'll tell you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, first section, walk in the light. This is the message that we have heard from him. Think about that. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. So God must have said to him, If he says, this is the message that we heard from him, God must have said to him, I am light, or ego eimi phos. Because he says, this is the message that we've, this is what I've heard from God. And I'm telling you, and that is, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Double negative. Ume, there's absolutely no darkness in God. He is light. Then he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not do the truth. Why? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't say that you have fellowship with God and walk with darkness at the same time. They don't go together like oil and water. It's impossible. You can't have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. You got to walk in the light, or you just can't have it. You just can't have it. There's no wishy-washy with John. John MacArthur says in his notes on 1 John that John presents the basics or the fundamentals of the Christian faith in absolutes, not in relative terms. Unlike Paul that presented exceptions, and he dealt so often with believers' failures to meet the divine standard, John does not deal with the what if I fail issues. Only in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, does he give some relief from the absolutes. The rest of the book presents truths in black and white rather than shades of gray, often a stark contrast, like we read in here, light versus darkness, truth versus lies, children of God versus children of the devil. So John is already, in just one paragraph in, driving home the fact in his first paragraph that if you claim to be Christian and if you walk in darkness, then you're a liar. And now in the next verse will be the contrast to darkness. Verse 7 starts with the word naturally, but. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship or koinonia with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I love that verse. Cleanses in the present tense. Like if you live this, this is what Lord showed me this week. If you live like this, you're cleansed on a day-to-day basis. It's an active thing of walking in the light as he is in the light. You are cleansed every day from the blood of Jesus Christ. Every day. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have koinonia with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All right, so what's the difference? To walk in darkness is to practice evil deeds or sin. Paul wrote, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is Galatians 5:19. That, I would say, is walking in darkness. Again, the text is not saying if you've committed one of these since you've been a Christian, you're walking in darkness, but rather if you practice these things, like practicing a piano or practicing medicine. A doctor came to Curly Howard one day and said to him, just where do you practice medicine? And Curly said, I don't need to practice it. I know it. Now, before we move forward here, if these things describe you, as I just quoted, then we need to talk. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with your, and here's that word again, something's wrong with your walk if these things describe you. Because genuine Christians don't behave like that anymore. You can't. You can't be born again. I mean, you have been born again and you have a new heart. You've got God living on the inside of you. You are slaves of righteousness now. You are compelled to do good as a Christian. You can't live like that anymore if you're a Christian. And John is saying, you're a liar if you're walking in darkness and say that you're a Christian. If these things I just read to you out of Galatians describe you now as a lifestyle, you're deceiving yourself to call yourself Christian. Because Christians don't do that. Oh, you might slip up and do any one of these. But when you practice them like a piano, then you got a problem. It's like Paul says, scrutinize yourself as whether or not you were of the faith. Or Peter, make your calling and election sure. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Wow, I can see why Jesus called this cat the Son of Thunder. He pulls no punches, doesn't he? If we say that we have no sin, we're kidding ourselves. And the truth is not in us. You see, if this is you, then Jesus is not for you. And you really shouldn't be here this morning. You're wasting your time. If you say that you are without sin, or you don't believe in sin, then Jesus is not for you. He's for those that admit they need help. Those that admit that they can't make it on their own. Those that admit that they're a sinner and they fall short of the glory of God and they need help and they're tired of wallowing in the mire.
The time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I need you.
where grace is found, is where you are, where you are, Lord.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
To make a difference here, it's all too clear.